Begin the current daf Masechtas Beis daf Chaf Hei. Begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf and the previous Mishnah, where we discussed regarding the prohibition, as was mentioned on the first Mishnah of this parak, that it's prohibited to do the malach of tzeda of trapping on Yantab, although Oichal Nefesh is permitted, but as Rashi explained, that was only things that are not able to be done from before Yomtiv, like slaughtering and cooking. However, tzeda, which could have been done from before Yomtiv, cannot be done on Yomtiv. Hence, a manifestation of that is that things that were not trapped from before Yomtiv are considered muktzah, because since one cannot do that on Yomtiv, hence that's something that is out of one's mind of utilizing, and therefore even if something is trapped on Yomtiv, one cannot go ahead and use that because it's considered muktzah. On that, we had a machlekes in the previous Mishnah regarding what's halacha when it's a suffix, it's a doubt if it was prepared or if it was trapped on Yomtiv. Now the Gemara continues regarding that halacha and says that Amar Rab Rav Huna Amar Rab Hasicher Amas Hamayim. If someone closes up a canal of water, where let's say that's where he has some fish over there in the pond, so he goes and he closes up the entryway that no other fish could come in when it gets dark, and the ones that are here he has designated, okay, through that action of closing up that area that now nothing else could come in, he does that mi'erev yamtiv from before yamtiv. Ulamachar hishkam matzav adagim, and then the next day on yamtiv he comes and he finds fish over there. On that the Gemara says, mutarn, they are permitted, and as we explained, because the idea why it would be forbidden is because things are not prepared, and since you can't go ahead and trap them, now anything that's new to that would be considered muktzah. Here where the person, they're considered already in the person's domain, that they're already closed off, and also no other ones that were not prepared are coming in. So none of them are muktzah, they're prepared and therefore they're permitted. Now Amrav Chizda, Rav Chizda says, Medivir Abeinu, from the words of our teacher, that is Rav. Now this is a reference because Rav Chizda is saying this, and as we'll find that all the three of them, Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, and Rav Nachman, were all Tamidim of Rav. And that's why they called Rav Chizda Chavrin, our friend, as the Gemara will say later on. And that's because they were all three Tamidim of Rav. So Rav Chizda said that from the words of our Rebbe, of Rav, Numa, we can learn the following halacha. The Chaya Shekinda Bepardis, regarding a wild animal that took up its place of residence in a pardis, an orchard, in other words, a place that's protected and safeguarded where the child cannot go ahead, that's born, and leave. Can't run away. Therefore, it's very easy to go ahead and trap the animals. And hence, one does not have to go ahead and prepare the animal and designate it. And therefore, it says, in its rechaziman, you don't have to go ahead and prepare the animals, because here, it's essentially the same as the case that Rav said. We hear that since it's a closed-off area, it can't go out, so it's considered prepared. Now, the Gemara will later ask, what do you mean? The act of what was done by the fish, what Rav was talking about, actually was a great action because he went and he closed it off. That was an act of preparation. Here, although the end result is the same, but it's very different in the sense of when you're preparing it, hence that's considered hachana, so it's not going to be mukta. Whereas in regards to the case that he's trying to extrapolate of the chaya shekinana, where yes, it's the same safeguarded as the case of the fish, but you didn't do anything to make it safeguarded, hence it could still be in the category of mukta that it wasn't prepared. Now, on that, Amr of Nachman, Rav Nachman says regarding the comment that Rav Chizda said, he wanted to extrapolate the halacha of Chai Shekinna from the halacha of Rav regarding the dogim, the fish, where the person had been seicher, he closed off the Amas Amayim. He says, Nafal Chavrin, our friend, again, that's a reference to Rav Chizda, has fell into Berav Ravasa, he has fell into a machlekes, where, in other words, he's getting his head caught in a big machlekes, where there's going to be many who are going to argue in him, where the Gemara shortly will conclude the question that he's going to say why people would argue on his extrapolation, but the Gemara just interrupts with an Ikka De'Amri, with a different version of this discussion, where they change that it wasn't Rav Chizda, rather it was Rabbi Rav Huna who had made this extrapolation. As the Gemara says, Ikka De'Amri, that those that say, Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, it was actually Rabbi Rav Huna who said, from the words of our teacher Rab, we could learn that regarding a wild animal that has taken up residence in the orchard, so those children don't need to have any preparations because they're already easily trapped. They're there already. On that, I'm Rav Nachman Nafal Bar Chavrin. Actually, the son of our friend, that is, they're one of the three of the friends, Rav Nachman, Rav Chizda, and Rav Huna. So Rav Huna's son, who is Rabba, he was going to fall Barav Ravasa. He's going to get involved in the big machlokes. And now the Gemara concludes the question, whichever version it is. Because Hassam, over there, the case that they want to extrapolate to the Chai Shekinna, Loikov and Maisa. You didn't do any action. You didn't make any designations, any preparations that to say that to show that you're going to use it for Yamtib. But Hachakov and Maisa, here by Rav, when he's talking about the fish, he did an action. He went and closed it off. So that's showing that, look, I want these. These are prepared. These are ones I'm designating. And now there's no problem with Seder, maybe by both of them. But here there's no element either of Muktzah, because you're designating, and there by the Chayashakinah, there's no such designation there. But how could you extrapolate that from Rav's Halacha, that the same would apply over there, that it wouldn't be Muktzah? Another question the Gemara asks. V'loy ba'yizim, and is it really true? Let's say one could even extrapolate that. But would you even say that a Chayashakinah actually does not need it to be prepared? But Vatani learned the Braisa clearly that contradicts the extrapolation that says that it has to be prepared. Where it says, in this case, Chayashakinah b'pardes is a wild animal that has taken up its place of residence, where it brings up its children in an orchard, tzrich lazamen, you have to go ahead and prepare it for it to be considered muchan, that it's prepared for yomtov purposes and not muktzah. Now, once the Gemara introduces the Braisa, it continues on the other halachas, but this has clearly contradicted them. The tzipa drer, and also a bird that's called tzipa drer, as we explained in the previous daf, that it's a very hard to catch bird, where if it has been prepared from before Yom Tov, tzarch likshra b'chanfeho. It also has to have its wings that are tied together to be a sign for it, kedei shaloi tischalav b'ima, so it shouldn't get confused with its mother, where since that's an adult one, that would not be considered prepared. It's only the child, so we don't want to confuse them. Therefore, you have to go ahead and tie the wings. V'zu eder she'idu bim pi Shmai v'Avtalin. And this is a testimony that was said in the name of Shmai v'Avtalin. But be that as it may, the first halacha clearly contradicts the extrapolation of either it's Rabbi Rav Huno or it's Rav Chisda that wants to say a chai shekinah b'pardes does not need to be prepared. So the Gemara concludes to Yufta, that seems to be a refutation of their opinion. But now that the Gemara has refuted their opinion, the Gemara actually asks, is that really true? Umi b'yizimun? As we just seem to have been proved from this Braisa, is it really true that a Chai Shekin Paradis needs to be prepared? But Vaitanya in the Braisa seems to say not like that. Abba Shem Lazar says, Maidim Bisham Bisil, both Bisham and Bisil agree, even though they argue regarding the halachas of Zimun, they both agree, Al Shazminun B'techa Kain, that if, let's say, there was a bird that was prepared inside its nest, that's inside its pigeonhole, but it wasn't found the way it was prepared, rather it was found in front of that. As we had explained already in the Gemara in Daf Yodam Abayz, where the Gemara there explained the case was talking about where there were these two nests in this one big dovkat. Now, he had prepared the one in one hole, but not the one in the other hole. Now, the following morning, he found the one that he had prepared, they were there, but they weren't where they were inside, but rather they were in the board that sticks out in front of that, in front of the pigeonhole. And the ones that were not prepared weren't in sight at all. And that is what Reb Shimon Loza said. Both Bisham and Bisil would agree, Shasurin, that they're prohibited. And the reason is because we're concerned that the ones that are in front of the pigeonhole which he had prepared, maybe those are not them. Maybe they flew away. Maybe the ones from the other one, which are not around anymore, maybe they came down to that one. And the ones that were really prepared went and flew away. And therefore, they're going to be forbidden. Now, that is what he qualifies as now Bamedvar Mum, and we even say at all. In that case, they both agree that although there's machlokes regarding if this was the one that he had prepared or not, and therefore they both agree that it's going to be Aser, but regarding this whole entire halacha, when did we even say that they have to be prepared to then say, oh, are these the ones that are prepared or not? That was only B'yoni Shevach, B'yoni Aliyah. Regarding the doves from a dovecot, as the case that we had been discussing over there, or the doves from that are on the roofs, or v'tziparim shekinnu b'tfichinu b'bira, or the birds that they take up the nests in jars in walls b'bira and by the mansions, those are the ones that need to have preparations, and hence that could get into that discussion of machlekes b'sham b'sil, where again in that case they would agree that we're not going to assume it's the one that's prepared, and therefore it's going to be us. Regarding geese and chickens, the yoni hardisois and the different doves that are either from the location of hardisois or that's named after Herod, who he had these types of doves, the chayish akinda bepardes and wild animals that take up their places of birth in the orchards, mutarin the ein tzrichin zimun, they're permitted in all circumstances and they do not need to be prepared. So that is the contradiction of the prior brisa, which the Gemara is going to conclude and then come to resolve. Here it seems clearly that actually you don't need to prepare it. But the Gemara continues quoting this Braisa. Now, but tzipa drer, regarding this bird that's called a tzipa drer, which is a very hard to catch bird, which it's small, and the mother and the daughter are very similar, tzricha likshu b'chanfeh, therefore you have to go ahead and tie the wings as a sign, kedoi tshalei tischalav b'ima, that it shouldn't get confused with its mother, which was not prepared. Now, v'hamakusharim, those birds which their wings are tied together, which is a sign for them, these are the ones that are designated, V'hamenunayin, and those which were shaken, that the person took them yesterday and he took it and shook them as a sign that he's preparing them. These are, if one has these bebayris, either in a pit, or bebatim in houses, or beshichin in ditches, or bemaris, or in caves, mutarin, they're permitted to be used on Yom Tov, because they were prepared, therefore they're mezumin, there's no halacha of muktz in them. However, ubi'ilon is assumed, if they're in trees, then they're forbidden, because shema yalav yitlash, because a tree is always problematic on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because you might go up and then rip off parts of the trees and the branches, which would be an isra malacha. And therefore, although if you designate them, they're permitted, but only if it's in the permitted place, not on a tree. Now, parenthetically, the Braisa concludes with a related halacha to what we just discussed, of that v'hamakushar and v'hamanunoyin, regarding these birds, that if they're tied together or if they're shaken, if they're found b'chal makim, in any place, even during a weekday, then asurin, they're going to be forbidden for the one who finds them, Mishum Gezel, because of theft. And the reason is because the first one who he tied them or he shook them up, he acquired them with picking them up, which is called Kinyan Hagba, where things that are hefka, which are what these birds are, they're ownerless, one acquires them by picking them up, and therefore, related to what we had discussed, that these things are considering that you designate them for Yom Tov, they consider prepared. Also, if one sees that this was done to the bird, if someone just finds it somewhere else, obviously someone had already acquired it, and therefore they're going to be forbidden to take because of theft. But be that as it may, again, the Gemara has a contradiction. On the one hand, we have the previous price that says that they do need to be prepared, these chayish akinna, because you didn't do anything, although they're safeguarded, but there's nothing that you did to prepare, and therefore you have to prepare. And yet here we have a price that says clearly that chayish akinna paradis does not need ziman. So then Rav Nachman says, loy kasha. It's not a difficulty, it's not a contradiction. Because the second brisa says that you don't need zimun, is ba. It's talking about the child. The child doesn't need any preparations because it cannot run away. And therefore the person's thought is regarding this, that he's going to want to use it on Yom Tov. The first brisa says it needs to be prepared, is talking about be'ima, by its mother, which is very large, and therefore that's something that can get away, and therefore that has to be designated to say that I want to use it, or else it's going to be considered muktzah because it's not easily accessible. Now the Gemara asks on that. Ima b'zimun sagila, is it really true that the mother, which that's how you're explaining the braisa that holds that it needs zimun, that's talking about the mother, is it enough with just preparation, with designating that you're going to want to use it for Yom Tov? But actually, tzedem al yasabai, it needs a full-fledged trapping. In other words, they're not easily gotten, and hence, it's not enough just to designate. You actually have to trap it, or else taking on Yom Tov would be considered the violation of the malach of tzeda. So how can you say that the one that says that you need to have the zimun is talking about the mother, which it sounds like would be enough with zimun? It shouldn't be enough even with zimun. And that the Gemara says, Ella rather, Amr of Nachem B'Yitzchak, he answers as follows. It says, actually, both brises are talking about the child. Now, the second brise says you don't need zimun, doesn't need to be prepared, is begina hasmuch l'iris toma, where the garden is near the city, where therefore the person knows about it, and therefore he's thinking about it, and that's why it's not muktz, it's considered prepared. Ha, begina she'en hasmucha, but the first brise says that you do need to have zimun, or else it's us who's going to be talking about that it's not near the city, hence one does not think about it, out of sight, out of mind, and therefore it would be considered muktzah, unless if someone goes ahead and is mezamen and he prepares it, then it's going to be considered mutter for Yom Tov, but really both of them are talking about the child that is easily accessible. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnahs, which are talking about tzeda, trapping. The next thing after a person traps an animal is slaughters the animal. So the Gemara talks about a certain aspect of these two halachas related to shechita of an animal on Yom Tov. So though shechita is permitted to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov because it's oichel nefesh and to do it before Yom Tov would get spoiled, however Mishnah tells us as follows. Behema musukenis, an animal that's in danger of dying, where the person's afraid it's going to die, and he doesn't really need the animal for Yom Tov for Echol Nefesh purposes, because he already ate his meals. But because of the loss that's going to happen, if it dies, it's an avela, that's it, you can't eat the animal anymore, so he wants to slaughter it. So that mission tells us, lo yishchi, and I'll slaughter it, because all malachas are forbidden on Yom Tov, only for Echol Nefesh, which is for consumption purposes, you're not going to eat it, so it's not permitted. Elam Kane, only if the person knows that yes shoyz b'yayim lecha menikazaisli. Only if you know that you have enough time that after you slaughter it, you'll be able to eat a kazayis, an olive size of the piece of meat roasted, then that's permitted because of eichel nefesh. Kivayim, he's more lenient. He says, afili kazayis chai mebeis tvichasa. He says, even if it's not enough to go ahead and slaughter and take a piece of meat and roast it, even if to have just a kazayis of raw meat from the place where it was slaughtered. In other words, it's prepared because where you slaughtered, that's where the skin has already been removed from and you can get to the meat. Even that is enough to go ahead and permit one to slaughter the animal. If after slaughtering, he'll be able to take even a raw piece of meat of a kazayas, that's enough to permit it to be slaughtered because, again, he's afraid that the animal is going to die and it's going to be a total loss. Now, another din related to shechita is shechata besada. If the animal is slaughtered in the field, which again, one is allowed to do on Yom Tov for Eichel Nefesh, lo yivyanu b'mayta b'mayta. A person shouldn't bring it in poles, and on which b'mayta is when there's two people that are carrying it together because of what's called, it's in halacha, it's called avshem milsa. It means it's making a big commotion, and it's what's called the zilzal Yom Tov. It's a disgrace for the Yom Tov to see this big production you're bringing. It's not what would be called Shabbosik. In this case, it wouldn't be called Yom Tov Dik. However, the person could bring limb by limb by limb because that's okay, because that's every piece is what you would be eating. But to do in this whole big procession of having with these big poles, that's forbidden, and therefore one shouldn't do that because of Zilzal Yom Tov. Now, related to the discussion on Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following statement, which will then come back into what our Mishnah had discussed. Amar Rami Bar Abba, he says, Hefshet v'nituach. Regarding skinning the animal and then breaking it up into pieces, which the Pasuk talks about bi'oilo, by a carbon oilo, which is the consumption of Hashem, so to speak, which is what the Mizbeach eats. On that, the Gemara says, v'hu adin, the same thing applies that we should learn likatzavim to the butchers, in other words, to the consumption of commoners, of regular people, of us. We should learn from how Hashem, how the Mizbeach eats the food, to how we should eat the food. Now, mekan lim de Torah derech eretz. From here, from the carbon idol, the Torah teaches you derech eretz, the common way of how men should function. Shlayechel adam baster kaidim hevshem nituach. That a person should not eat a piece of meat until he has first skinned the animal and cut up into small pieces, and then he could go ahead and eat the meat. Now, on that halacha of Rami Bar Abba, the Gemara asks, my kamashmon, what is his chiddush? What is he actually teaching? In other words, is he just teaching derech eretz? In other words, what proper conduct, which is more of an ethical code, or is it a prohibition? In other words, to say that actually it's forbidden min ha-Torah to eat the piece of meat until it's skinned and cut up. And the reason for that would be, why would it be an iser, is because maybe the person is going to find a sign of tarfus in a concealed part of the animal, which would show that the animal has a fatal defect, which would consider it a treif, a non-kosher animal. Now, which would mean that we would establish there's a chazak in an animal that maybe, there's always that doubt that maybe the animal is a treif, or somewhere in the body there was a mortal, fatal defect. And therefore, if you're going to eat it before you go ahead and skin it and chop it up into pieces, you might be eating a treif, and therefore he's actually teaching us an iser, that it's necessary for the halacha and not just for derech eretz, as the Gemara explains. Now, ilema lafuk medrav huna, if you say that it's the iser approach, that he's coming to exclude from what Rav Huna had said, because Rav Huna had said actually that one does not, mitzat halacha, have to skin and to chop it up. In other words, a person doesn't have to assume that the animal is going to be a suffix trefa, that maybe there's somewhere here that makes the animal into a trefa. As Rav Huna said, he said, behema b'chayeha, an animal when it's still alive, so then b'cheskesisa, then it has an assumption, has an established law of prohibition, because an animal that's alive, you can't eat from it, it's called eiver menachai, eating a limb from a live animal. Now, on that he says, oimedes, that it retains that iser. Now, what that means is, what does it mean it retains that iser? The difference would be if, let's say, there's a doubt regarding the slaughtering of the animal. So now we say it maintains that iser up until, ad sheyavad lecha, until you know with clarity and until you know for sure, b'ma nishchata, with what it was slaughtered. That, in other words, you have to know for a fact that it was slaughtered properly. Because or else it stays with the chazakah, with the presupposed iser of evi menachai, until you know that you had made it permitted through a proper shechita. Now, nishchata, however, once we know for a fact that the slaughter was done properly, then it actually becomes the reverse. Now it's becheskes hetre medes. It actually has an assumption of permitted, because generally animals are not considered trefes. And therefore, if one finds a hole in the lungs or one of the intestines where now you could say that maybe it happened after the slaughtering and therefore it's kosher, or maybe it happened before the slaughtering and therefore it's aster, and that is what Rav Huna is saying, that you maintain the chazaka that was in it before you found this doubt, which is that the animal is going to be permitted ad sheyivad lecha b'man nitrefa, until you know for a fact with what it became treif that it actually is going to be not kosher. Therefore, it always maintains a chazaka, what its original default position was. Before it's slaughtered, it maintains a cheskes iser, it's eiver menachai, until you know that you slaughtered properly. Once you slaughtered properly, so then it's a cheskes heter, until you know for a fact that it actually was a trefa before you slaughtered, and if it's a doubt, it's going to be kasha. Now, if we would take the option that Rami Bar Abba is actually teaching us halacha and iser, that no, you're not allowed to eat until you slaughter and cut it up, because we have to suppose that maybe this is a mortal defect, that it's a treva and not kosher, not like Rav Huna, but vanan tenamas nin k'Rav Huna. But we learned in our Mishnah clearly like Rav Huna. Then not like we learned in our Mishnah. B'kiva Omer, he says, he was the more lenient approach. He says afilu kezayis chai mebeis tvichasa. He says even to eat a raw olive-sized piece of meat from where it was slaughtered, that's enough to allow one to slaughter the animal on Yom Tov that's about to die, because it doesn't want it to be a total loss. Now, the diak, the inference of the Gemara is, my love, mebeis tvichasa mamish. It sounds like what Rabbi Kiva is saying, that you're going to eat a raw piece of meat from the place where it was slaughtered, meaning, why there? Why from the neck? Because that would mean before the whole animal was skinned and that it was all chopped up, the quickest piece of meat you can get, because it's about to get nighttime and you're afraid in that meantime you're going to lose the whole animal, so you slaughter it. If you could quickly get a raw piece of meat from where you slaughtered it, that's going to make it enough that we could slaughter in that case, because then it'll be eichel nefesh. Now the question is, if you're doing it from where the neck was, that means you didn't skin the whole animal. Obviously that's like Rav Huna, where we suppose that it's going to be kosher, not like this option of Rami Bar Abba, that it's going to be an isser. Now the Gemara says, "Lo, it's not a raya from our Mishnah, because what does it mean mibeis tvichasa, from the place where it's slaughtered? It means mimokum shetivachas achilasa, which is a different interpretation, a different spin on the word. It means from the place where the animal it slaughters its food, meaning it's taking a piece of meat from the intestines, where there the food gets chopped up, and that's where the food gets digested. That's where the term of mibeis tvichasa, where it is tevach, it's food, that's where you're eating it from. But to get there, you would have to skin the animal and then chop up the food. That's what Rabbi Kiva is talking about. He's not talking about taking from the neck, which would mean that it wasn't skinned and slaughtered, because actually it could be like Rami Bar Abba in that option, that it's actually usser until one skins, because we have to suppose that maybe that has a suffix tarifus. But I think Gemara says we can't even say that, because of a tundra, Chib taught explicitly in the Brisa that mokum tvichasa mamish. It doesn't mean from the intestines, which would be tevachas achilasa. It means literally from the place of where it was slaughtered, which would mean from the neck, which would mean that halachically we do allow, on a technical point of eating from the animal's neck, which is the place where the skin has moved away, and therefore you could get to the flesh without skinning and without chopping up the whole animal. So the Gemara says, Eli, you're right. Rami Bar Abba must be the Rami Bar Abba is actually not teaching us a halacha that it's usser, rather, as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, Arich Arik Kamashmon, he's teaching us proper conduct, but not because of an isser treifa. Kitan, like we learn the Braisa, that we find similarly Tanoim that teach us halachas of derech eretz, of proper conduct, that a person should not make himself seen by the people like a glutton. So too, this person, which was the halacha Rami Bar Abba was teaching, shows that he wants to eat so fast, he has no time to skin the animal and to break it up into small pieces. He quickly takes a bite out. That's inappropriate. That's not proper derech eretz, and that's what Rami Bar Abba is teaching. But halachically, you're right, that's okay, because we don't have to suppose it's a treifas, but it's not appropriate. Similarly, as we find the Tanaim tell us, that lo yechal adam shum ubatzel mireisha. A person should not eat garlic and onions from the top, Elema olive, only from the leaves, in other words, from the side where the leaves are, which you're going to have to pull off the outer parts, which would make it will take time till a person eats. That's how a person should do it, not from the top where he just bites into it. V'machal, if he does eat that way, then harir it's a rafsin. So this is a sign that he's a glutton, that he's someone that has a ravenous appetite, that he has no patience, no time, he's going to go digging right into the food. Kietzabay, similarly we find, the layishta adam kaysev avasach, a person shouldn't drink his cup in one gulp. Vim Shasar is a gargant. If he does, then again, he's a guzzler. He's just gulping things down. Not appropriate. Tanaban, similarly, we learned in the Braisa. Hashesa Kesa Bevas Achaz. If someone drinks his cup in one shot, Sar is a gargant. So he's a guzzler. Shnayim, if he drinks it in two, then that's derech eretz. That's the appropriate way of normal people. Shleisha Megasa Ruach. That's already going too far. If you're drinking in three gulps, so then you're showing that you're a haughty, that you're larger than who you really are, and that's not, you shouldn't be doing it that way. Do it the normal way of people, which is in two shots. Related to this this topic, and from the same Amoira, Vam Ram Bar Abba, he says, Chatsuva, now Chatsuva is a type of grass that its roots would go straight down into the depths, and not like other types of plants which would go, you know, on either side, the roots go ahead and to the side, rather would go straight down. And actually this was a type of grass that was used by Yeshua to split up Eretz Yisrael, and it's used as lines of demarcation between different properties. So on that run, Barabbas said that this type of grass, mikatea raglan dirishia, literally means it chops off the feet of the wicked ones. I mean, what it means to say is that for the day of judgment, these people that they rob and they steal and they force people and they take over the boundaries of other people, they take what's not theirs, and they don't learn from this chatsuva, that's going to be that their reference of, they're going to say, why weren't you at least like this chatsuva who knew its place and went straight down, didn't go ahead and be masik vul, take from the inappropriate boundaries. Similarly, natiya, which is a sapling, a planting of arla, which the Torah says that when one plants a new tree in its first 3 years, all the fruits are forbidden to eat from them. You have to wait 3 years. Our mikatea raglan de katsavaya, that also literally means it chops off the feet of the butchers who they're so quick to eat before they skin and before they chop up the piece of meat. And sometimes you find out that it was actually a treifa. Similarly, udeboya le nidais, those who they're too quick and they can't wait until their wives go ahead and immerse in the mikvah and they end up cohabiting with a woman that still has the halachas of menstruation, it's the same idea that they don't learn from this sapling, which people wait for 3 years to eat the fruits, and here they can't wait till his wife goes to the mikvah or till the meat is skinned and then cut up into pieces. Similarly, tumasa, which is a type of legume, a type of bean that's round like a lentil and it's wide like a small ma'a, small coin, which is very bitter, until they're cooked very much 7 times, which then they become sweet, and they become so sweet actually that it's a dessert that people would eat. This type of bean, mikatea raglan de sanein shel Yisrael, which is a euphemism, which really means to say that it's going to cut off the feet, it's going to be used as a prosecutor for the Jewish people. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Shaftim, for Yisifu b'nei Yisrael, lasis harab b'in Hashem, that the Jewish people continue to do evil in the eyes of Hashem, Vayividu es haba'olim, and they serve the avodah zarah of the Baal, ves ha'ashtaris and the ashtaris, ves elehe aram, and the gods of Aram, ves elehe tzidon, and the gods of tzidon, ves elehe maya, ves elehe b'nei amoin, ves elehe plishtim, and the gods of the plishtim, and b'nei amoin, and of the people of maya. Now it says there in that pasuk, 7 different avodah zarah, different idols in that pasuk. And the end of the pasuk says, v'yas v'z Hashem, and they left Hashem alone. Now, this term has been, after the owners have already put in the effort to cook it very much, a deep cooking, 7 times, so then finally that bean becomes good. Now, these people, the Jewish people, they put effort on their creator to make them punished 7 times and to anger him, and yet still they don't go ahead and do tshuva. As the end of that pasuk says, V'yazves Hashem v'lo yavdu, they leave Hashem and they don't serve Him. Now, the question is, Mimash Meshanema, don't I know from the fact that it says, V'yazves Hashem, that they forsake Hashem, any dish le'abdu, I don't know that they don't serve Him? No, Matam Olam le'abdu, what does it teach that they don't serve Him? That Amar Blaza, this Rav Blaza says this idea, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Afilu k'turma sazeh, even like this turma has been, Shasholka noise sheva pa'am, and where you have to go ahead and cook it 7 times, a lot of effort going into it. But now, but finally, when you cook it 7 times, it learns its lesson. In other words, it becomes sweet, and you can eat it for dessert. Even that, my children, the Jewish people, don't do for me. I go ahead and I try to teach them 1 time, Yisurim, give them cooking them 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. Again, they do have a dessert 7 times, and they still forsake Hashem. They're not even like the turma's bean. They don't get it. They're finally let them turn sweet, and that's the reason why I'm punishing them. Even that, they're not doing. Now, related to this, that the Jewish people have this characteristic of not learning, so Tana Meshmedra Meir, Nema Nitna Terli Yisrael, why was the Torah given to the Jewish people? Memneshehin Azen, because they're brazen, they're very strong-willed. Now, that is why the Torah was given to them, so that they could toil in it, which will weaken their strong-willed resolve, that brazenness, and they'll humble themselves in front of Hashem. That was the purpose of the Torah. And that's why we have them, not to be like not learning the lesson 7 times and still forsaking Hashem. Similarly, Tana de Bishmol was taught in the Yeshiva Bishmol. It's a pasuk in Devarim that says, Miminoi, from his right hand, the reference to Hashem, Eish Das Lamai, he gave a fiery law to them, to the Jewish people. So Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ru'uin Halalu, it's fitting for these, Shetinas Lehem Das Eish, that they should be given a fiery law. In other words, again, they need something of fire to counter their fire, their Azus, to counter. That's the point of the Torah, to Mamachni them, to humble them, to allow them to fully serve Hashem the proper appropriate way. Ikedar, they also say a different interpretation of that pasuk, that the sehem shel elu, the custom of those, in other words, a reference to the Jewish people, are ash, is fire, because they're brazen, they have azas like fire. and that is Shalmali Nitna Torah Yisrael, had the Torah not been given to the Jewish people, Ein Kol Uma V'Loshin Yichayin Lamed Lefanim, they would not have been a nation or a tongue, in a reference to different cultures, that could have withstood the Jewish people. Now that's the explanation of how they explain Miminoi, from his right hand, Hashem, Esh Das Lama. In other words, from his right hand, he gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Why? Because Esh Das Lama, because they have a fiery characteristic, therefore they needed the Torah to counter that fire. As the Gemara says, behind the Amr Rav Shimon Lakish, as Rav Shimon Lakish said, the Gimel Azenhein, there are three that are brazen, that are very strong-willed, that are very hard to vanquish, to overcome. They're Yisrael B'umis, the Jewish people amongst the nations. Kelev B'chayis is the dog amongst the animals. Karna Golba'ifis and chickens amongst the fowl. Now B'yeshem, there are those that add on Af'ez B'behemek Daka, also goats amongst the small type of animals. B'yeshem and some add on even Af'tzlaf B'ilonis, also the caper bush amongst the trees, as Tesa explains, because it also is so much more than the other ones, because it makes three different types of produce. The leaves can be consumed, the berries can be consumed, and their fruit that they make. And also, they produce fruits every single day, so it's the same type of thing. It's very hard to compete with them. Just like the Jewish people amongst the nations, and the dogs from the animals, and the chickens of the fowl. Now the Gemara continues, quoting this, explaining our Mishnah, that said the second halacha regarding Shechita and Yom Tov, that Shechata Basada, if the animal is slaughtered out in the field, although it's allowed to because it's for Eichel Nefesh, lo yivien b'mayit, you don't bring it back with these poles, again, as we explained in the Mishnah, because it's a zilzal, it's a disgrace, you're making a big ceremony, procession, it's not Yom Tov Dik, hence, it's forbidden to do that. So similarly, the Gemara brings from a Braisa, Trabban, we learned the Braisa, in Hasuma Yitzi B'makli, a blind person is not allowed to go out with his walking stick, because that's like a weekday type of thing, and therefore it's a disgrace for Yom Tov to be walking that way. The Lohiroi B'Tarmiloi, neither a shepherd with his pouch. And also another halacha, V'ein Yoitzin B'Kisei, a person should not be going out with a chair. In other words, that people would carry the person on a chair with this type of a throne. Echad Ish V'Echad Isha, whether it's a man or a woman, it's not appropriate. These things are not Yom Tov Dik. So you don't go out, if you're a shepherd, with your pouch. You don't go out by having people carry on a chair. It's not appropriate for Yom Tov. Now, that the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? That this is considered Zilus of the Yom Tov? But Vashalach Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, he said, sent as follows. He said, Zakan Echad Hayy B'Shchun HaSeinah, there was an elderly person in our neighborhood, V'Hayyitzi B'Glut Kishalai, that he would go out with his folding chair. Now, that was the only way he was able to be going out, where people would carry him. Uvo V'Shalach Rabbi Shimon Levi, and they came and they asked Rabbi Shimon Levi if that's okay for him to be carried that way on Yom Tov. V'Amar, he said, if the people need him, in other words, to come to the Beis Medrash to give a drasha, a lecture, then Mutter then is permitted to take him out from his house like that to the Beis Medrash. Similarly, the Samcha Rabbi Seinu al Divri Achi Shakya, that the Rabbanim had relied on the testimony of Achi Shakya, Dhamma, that he said, Ana fixe, I took out with a cheer, L'Rav Huna, Mehini Lishili, Umishilihini, from this place to that place, and from that place to this place, which these are two places that are near each other, which it's not past the Tchum of Shabbos, which is allowed to, and therefore they relied that one is allowed to go ahead and carry an individual on the chair. Similarly, V'amr Nachman Yitzchak, he said, Ana fixe, L'mar Shmuel, he says, I took out Mar Shmuel, Mishim Shalatula, Matula Shimsha, from the sun to the shade, and from the shade to the sun. Again, that a person, that one is allowed to go ahead. So how can we say that it's forbidden because of Zilus L'Yom Tov if we find all these stories where they took out them out with the chair? So that the Gemara says, no, Hasim Kedam Atam. There is, as the reasons are given over there why they are different, because as it said, Im Hayu Rabin Srichal Mutter, there were their Talmid HaChachamim, where they were needed to give a lecture in the Beis Medrash. That's why it's permitted. So that's not a disgrace for Yom Tov, because it's necessary for a Divrei Torah to be said. But if not for that, then it would be Asur. Now, on that, Amalei Rav Nachman Lachama Bar Ada, who that was his name, who was Shliach Tzion, he was the messenger to Zion, which, in other words, he was the one that was generally sent as the messenger up to Yerushalayim. So he told him, look, Kisalak Lahasim, when you go up there, when you're going up next to Eretz Yisrael, I want you to do me a favor, Akiv, go and take this circuitous route, take a long route, Bezil Masulma de Tzur. I want you to go up through the elevations of the mountain of Tzur. Bezil Gabed Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, I want you to step in by Rav Yaakov Bar Idi. Ubaimene, I want you to ask him from him the following question. Kisei ma'ut ma'atun bay. What do you hold? What do you say regarding a chair? Which is the question that we're discussing regarding carrying an individual on a chair on Yom Tov. So the Azla Hassan, by the time he got there, Nach Nafshad Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, he had already passed away. So Kisalik, however, when he finally got up to Eretz Yisrael, after he'd passed through Tzur, So Ashkechel Reb Zreika, he found Reb Zreika and he asked him that question. Amalei, Kisei Matan Bey, what do you hold regarding the chair? So Amalei, he says, Hochi Omer Rabami, this is what Rabami said. Ubavachli Kasav, you're allowed to go ahead if, as we said before, if it's necessary for the person to carry him on the chair if they need him in the mismeasure, as long as you don't hold him on the shoulders. Now that the Gemara asks, my Ubavachli Kasav, what is this term that you're allowed to carry someone on the chair as long as it's not on the shoulders? So Amar Rav Yisrael Bar Rava, he says it's a reference to Ba'alunki. Now what Ba'alunki is that one, there's at least two individuals involved, that one would put his arm on one person's shoulder, then his friend puts his arm on his shoulder. Now on then on their two arms are on their shoulders is the chair, which is sitting on their arms, which that looks like a weekday mundane type of way of carrying. It's very public and it looks like it's for long distances, which is more than if they hold it in their hands. Holding the chair in the hands, that's permitted as long as you don't make it into the salunki, which is on the shoulders, which is more permanent, and that's more of a zilzal of yamtu. Now, that thing we ask, Ini, is that really so? Is that even forbidden? But Rav Nachman shor lili yalta, but Rav Nachman permitted to yalta, who that was the name of his wife, lemepik alunki. He let his wife be carried out alunki, where people would have their arms on their other shoulder and the chair resting on their arms. So how can we say that's forbidden to be done in yamtu? So I think my answer is Shani Yalta to be Issa. Yalta is different because she was afraid that she was going to fall. And if they hold just in the hands, she was afraid. And therefore, because of that, she was allowed to be carried by Alunki on the shoulders. But generally, that's forbidden. Similarly, we find that there's this exception that Amimu Umazutra Mikasvilahu, they were carried to the in the Beis Medrash until they got to their place. B'Shabbat Derigla on the Shabbos when they would lecture the halachas of the Yomtiv, Mishum B'Issusa, because they were afraid to be. Because they were afraid of the public, of the masses that were there. And that was, they were afraid from the people that get up on their feet because the Talmid Chacham are coming in. They're afraid they're going to fall. So therefore, to avoid that, they were carried up in the chair over the people until they got to their place. But Amrila, actually, some say Mishum Duchka de Tzibura. The reason why they were carried by the chair over the people till they got to their seat was because of the pushing of the people, that they had to get up on their feet, and it's a big effort and it's a tircha, an exertion for the people, for all the people that are gathered over there. Therefore, their servants went and put them up and they carried them on the chair, on their shoulders, because so that the students could just take them straight to their place so that it won't make this big commotion, everyone getting up, and it's going to cause this big tircha de tzibura. So either it's because of they were afraid of the people getting up, there's no room, or because of the tircha de tzibura. That's why, again, generally one should not go ahead and carry the chair. But if it's necessary for them to be able to, if they're giving the drasha, as we just explained, to get to their place, then it's allowed. However, to do alunki is forbidden. However, in the case of B'Issusa, where there's this fear, like Yalta had to fall down, then even alunki, even having people put their hands on their arms, on the other one's shoulders, even that would be permitted under those types of circumstances.